In our Sunday school class this morning, we read a verse that I thought I might read to us. And I think of how true this is, knowing first that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. We know that the Scripture is here for us to read and to understand for each and every one of us, from the youngest that can read and to the oldest. I want to read several verses out of Acts this morning. To begin with, I want to begin in the 13th chapter. And it's telling the prophets who were in the church of at that time, and talking of things that they'd done. And in the second verse, "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for a work whereunto I have called them." And notice here that the Spirit is at work and telling them what to do. "And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." Now here was two men that were set apart for a special purpose. And notice how it was done. The Holy Ghost told them what to do. And we know that throughout the Scripture that there is many ways that the Lord speaks to people. In whatever way He needs to, when we have the people that are righteous, He's going to talk to them. If we put our house in order and follow the commandments, we can't expect the Lord to grant at us the things that we might need and direct us in whatever way He sees fit to do it. I want to read a little bit out of 1 Timothy. In the 4th chapter, beginning here at the 13th verse, and he's speaking to this young minister and telling him what to do. "Till I come, give attendance to reading and exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy." Here he's not to neglect the gift that's given to him. It's given to him by prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now here he's being preached to, and I guess he received this in a letter telling him what to do, but it told him to take heed to what was told to him through prophecy, to this gift that was given to him. And it told him to go ahead then and to live a good life and to continue in the doctrine. But it's explained there that by doing this, he was going to be able to save himself and them that hear thee. So here, by doing some of the keeping the commandments that the Lord had given unto him and following after things that had been granted unto them by the Holy Ghost, they were able to accomplish, or he would be able to accomplish these things. I want to go back into Acts for some more verses. This is near where we've been reading in our Wednesday night study class, and probably we will read these verses next week. But I want to read them tonight, or this morning, and show some of the things that the Lord done for people at different times and what he accomplished by it. I'm going to begin in the 8th chapter in the 26th verse. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down by Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had the charge of all of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now I'm sure that all of us could tell us what was going to happen here. We've all read this story and are pretty familiar with it. But notice here that an angel of the Lord spake to Philip and told him what to do. And he was to go down there. And he was here this man was that was studying the scripture. Now at this time, notice an angel was performing this duty that the Lord had in mind for him to do, and he told Philip what to do. And Philip, being a sincere follower of the Lord, he went and done what he was told. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. After he had told to go down there, and then he was told which chariot to go to. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I understand except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a dumb lamb before the shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life was taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now here is a case where the Spirit came upon Philip, and he done what he was told and followed after the ways of the Lord, and we're going to see the effect it had now here in just a few verses. And as they went their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded him, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, And he went on his way rejoicing. And we'll find then Philip was found in other places immediately. He was carried away. But by Philip being a righteous man and heeding the word of the Lord, he was able to go down there and was able to baptize this person. Had he not been in the condition to hear the Lord, this wouldn't have happened. And if he hadn't been a righteous man, he wouldn't have followed the direction of the Lord. And I'm going to read some out of this next chapter also, and I'm sure that most of us are pretty familiar with it. I'm going to start, I believe, at the third verse in the ninth chapter, and I'm going to read several verses. And this was referring to Saul, or Paul, as we later become to know him. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now here is a time when I don't know that it was... It was no prophecy. It was I suppose it would have been a direct vision, because here Christ was speaking to this man. Another tool that he used in this particular place. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now here Saul recognized who this was. He knew that it was the Lord. He wanted to know who he was. For he heard it, and he had to recognize that it was a great power. And he had been a very zealous man in trying to keep what he believed was the law of Moses. And Christ recognized his sincerity and realized that he could use him. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now here, this man had been persecuting the Christians, and here he was willing, whatever the Lord, he says, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it will be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Now apparently they didn't have the discernment that he did. They didn't realize who it was. They heard the voice, but they didn't see anyone. Now, as we know, many times the Lord has spoke to one person and no one else heard it. But this was a time when all of these people apparently heard this voice, but they didn't see. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. Here he was blind. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Now notice Ananias here recognized right away who was speaking to him. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in a house, in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Now notice here, the Lord had spoke to him and told him exactly what he was to do. You know, I'm very confident that many people today have been directed exactly what they were supposed to do. And I'm confident that we're going to have more things like this happen. But notice here in these next few verses, and Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Now, notice here that Ananias questioned about this. What should I do? Now, I believe that if we're told by the Lord to do something, that he's not going to be offended if we question it. Is that what we're to do? Now, is this what's supposed to happen? Notice, Ananias here had been told what to do, and he says, but Lord, this man has, he might have, if we'd used it in our terms, he's an evil man, and he's been doing many terrible things. How come we're to do this? What's going to happen here? But notice that the Lord tells him, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And then we'll notice what Ananias done. He didn't question it farther. When the Lord told him what he was to do, we'll find what he done. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, notice here, he recognized who he was and he called him brother. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Now here, several great miracles had happened here to Saul and Ananias and so on. And the Lord had spoke to these people, but Saul, being a sincere man, when he realized who it was and what was to be done, he didn't hesitate for one moment. Similar as we remember Alma, when he was 3 days that he couldn't speak, and when he was rose up, or when he was risen, that he went about doing the Lord's will. The same with Saul here. As soon as he realized that he had been wrong by the power of the Lord, he turned and went in another direction. And Ananias wondered about this. Now, why would I go to see this man who's been a wicked man or had been persecuting the saints? But when the Lord told him what he should do, he didn't question it any farther. He went right ahead and went down there and done what the Lord had commanded him. And I'm sure that he'd seen at that time that it was wisdom in the Lord that he had called Saul to be a minister, and had laid a great work before him. But had either one of these men turned away and hadn't realized, or wasn't righteous enough to realize what was happening, they could have missed the whole thing. Of course, we know they didn't, and it wasn't intended to be that way. But a person today, in our time, could turn away when the Lord speaks to us. I don't say that every time that we think that the Lord has spoke to us that we should jump up and run. Maybe do like these people did. Pray about it and question it. And I'm sure that the Lord will make it known whether it is of him or whether it's of someone else. I want to go over into the 11th chapter here for a few verses. I'm going to just read 27 and 28, I think. And in these days came the prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now we could read a little further and find out that these things did happen. But here, the Spirit made known unto him something. Now, how much effect this had upon them, I'm not real sure. But it was made known to him that these things were going to happen, that there was going to be a great famine. We know of many other times when the Spirit bore witness to different people that there was going to be a famine, or some great trial come upon the earth. And by them having known these things, they were able to take precautions against them. We can think of one time especially when Noah was warned what would happen. He took the proper precautions and made the proper preparations, and he and his household were saved. And we know that this happened many other times. But had those people not been righteous and not been willing to heed the word of the Lord, they wouldn't have been able to accomplish the purpose that the Lord had for them. The same as it is today. If the Lord has something for us to do, we better hear what he says to us. I want to go back into Amos for just one verse. You have to be pretty quick, or you can almost pass that little book up. I want to read just one verse here, and how true we know this is. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. And how many times can we trace that through the Scripture? I can't begin to name the times. All of the times that he told the people what was going to happen. He told Noah. He told of the coming of Christ. All of these things were told ahead of time. He told that they would come to this land. We can one of the things that we can recall is Christ's birth. How many times was it foretold? Yet how many people was aware of it when it happened? And we know that in the Scripture it said that they take on one stick and write of Judah and the other of Joseph. It was written there. We can see it now. It was foretold. And I'm sure today there is things in the Scripture that has been foretold. And he is going to speak to the ministry and to the people and tell them more things. And we want to be sure and listen to them. And we want to be sure again and pray about them, that we know that they're so. But these things, the Lord has used so many different means to tell people things. I would almost be certain that each one of us in this room has heard a still small voice speak to us. Other times we have had something be made known to us, it may be in a dream. And sometimes it's been shown in other ways. All of these things are for us to use and to benefit from. And I think of another thing that was foretold, and we mentioned that in our Sunday school class this morning too. Not many people in the world even knows that it was ever foretold. And that was Columbus. Here, it was told that this man would come here and what he would do. And when we think, basically, that his crew was not a God-fearing crew at all. Many of them prisoners. And that was the type of people that he used to come to this nation. But still, when the Lord has a work to be done for a people, it's going to be done. Whether we want to go with it or without it. When he's ready to do his work, he's going to accomplish it. And by our knowledge of the Scripture and realizing what He can do, we can recognize it and go and continue to follow after Him. And we know over in Hebrews it mentions that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's mentioned back here in my book shows 787 B.C. that He's going to show everything to His servant, the prophets. It's going to be made known. And over in Hebrews, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm going to read some in Mormon, which will verify that fact quite a bit. I believe it's on page 710. I believe I'll begin with 66. And again, I speak unto you who deny the revelations of God and say that they are done away, that they are no revelations, no prophecies, nor gifts, nor healing, nor speaking in tongues, nor interpretation of tongues. But behold, I say unto you, he that denieth these things denieth not the gospel, denieth that knoweth not the gospel of Christ. Anyone that denies that isn't going to know the gospel of Christ. Yea, he has not read the Scriptures. If so, he does not understand them. And how true that is. How many people today will tell you there is no such thing as prophesying or any of the gifts of healing and so on? People will tell us that. And yet they have read the Scripture and studied it, but do not understand it. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And now, if ye have imagined up unto yourselves a God that doth vary, and in Him there is a shadow of changing, then have you imagined up to yourselves a God who is not a God of miracles. Now if He changes and so on, He's not going to be a God of miracles. And do we read in the newspapers and so on, people telling about God changing from time to time with the times as things go along? A lot of people say that. Oh, He's got to keep up with the times. I don't believe anyone in this room believes that. We better try to keep up with God, not Him with us. But there is people that believe that as the world changes, God is going to change to fit Himself to it. But behold, I will show unto you a God of miracles, even a God of Abraham, and a God of Isaac, and a God of Jacob. Now, if we know what they done, what God done there, we can go back and trace what He done for those people. If He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we can see what He done in those days and count that it's going to be done or similar things today. And it is the same God who created the heavens and the earth and all things in them that are. You know, it would be pretty hard for me to believe in a God that created this whole earth and then didn't believe that He could go on with His work. That He, or up to the time of Christ, He was able to raise Christ from the dead, and then all of the miracles were going to cease and we weren't going to have any more. That would be pretty hard for me to believe. Of course, some people that study the Scripture, they don't really believe that God created the earth. They believe that it happened and He used it. Just happened to be here and He used it. I don't think any of us believe that either. But we know that if He's going to be the same that he's going to hear us today and answer our prayers and direct us just the same as he did for Abraham or Isaac or anyone else throughout the time of the scriptures. I want to go over here onto the next page, beginning in verse 78. This is all good reading. We just can't read it all. Many verses here that I've skipped over, it'd be well to read them because they sure tell us what we should know. Who shall say that it was not a miracle that by his word the heavens and the earth should be, and by the power of his word man was created of the dust of the earth, and by power of his word hath miracles been wrought? If you deny those things, then a person is going to deny that God is, as far as I'm concerned. And who shall say that Jesus Christ did not do many mighty miracles? And there were many mighty miracles wrought by the hands of the apostles. And we read about them in the scripture, the things that they done, and the people that were healed and blessed. And if there were miracles wrought, then why has God ceased to be a God of miracles and yet be an unchangeable being? We know that if it was done then, and him being an unchangeable being, it's going to be done today. And behold, I say unto you, he changeth not. If so, he would cease to be God. And he ceaseth not to be God, and is a God of miracles. The reason why he ceases to do miracles, now there's a condition, he can cease to do miracles, and here's going to be the answer to that problem. And the reason why he ceaseth to do miracles among the children of men is because they dwindle in unbelief and depart from the right way and know not the God and whom they should trust. Now there is the reason that we might not have them, or the world might not, is that reason right there. And if we don't fall into that trap, dwindling in unbelief and depart from the right way, if we don't fall into that, then we can expect these other things to be amongst us. And they are going to be amongst us. I want to read a few verses here from 2 Nephi, the 11th chapter. Beginning with 131. And this is one of the miracles that was foretold in the scripture, and here we're able to actually have it in our hand. And the day cometh that the words of the book which were sealed shall be read upon the housetops, and shall be read by the power of Christ. And all things shall be revealed unto the children of men, which ever have been among the children of men, and which ever will be, even unto the end of the earth. Wherefore, at that day when the book shall be delivered unto the men, unto the man of whom I have spoken, the book shall be hid from the eyes of the world, that the eyes of none shall behold it, save it be three witnesses shall behold it, by the power of God, besides him to whom the book shall be delivered. And they shall testify of the truth of the book and the things therein. And it goes ahead and tells that there would be a few others that might also see it for this purpose. But here, one of the things that was foretold, we're able to be aware of it. We've got it right here in our hands and able to study it. But if people hadn't have been willing to heed the word of the Lord and hadn't have been willing to believe in prophecy and miracles, this book couldn't have came forth. Because it wouldn't have been given to a person that didn't believe those things. But we know that the people that it was given into the hands of was willing to believe the Lord. Joseph Smith didn't understand all the things when he was told what he was to do. Neither did Paul at the time that he was made blind and told, but he was willing to do the will of the Lord. The same as the other old prophets. No matter what the Lord told them to do, they was willing to go do it. The same as Joseph Smith was when he received this book. He went ahead and accomplished what the Lord had in mind for him. Even though at that time, he wasn't really aware of the fact that there was such a thing as miracles being performed today. But when the Lord, he was seeking the truth, and when it was made known unto him, he believed it. The same as we should do today. I want to go over into Ether for a couple of verses on page 725. Beginning with the 10th verse, maybe I'll drop back to the 9th verse. Come unto me, O ye Gentiles, and I will show unto thee the greater things, the knowledge which is hid up because of unbelief. Come unto me, O house of Israel, and it shall be made manifest unto you how great the things the Father hath laid up for you from the foundation of the world, and it hath not come unto you because of unbelief. Behold, when you rend the veil of unbelief, which doth cause you to remain in your awful state of wickedness and hardness of heart and blindness of mind, then shall the great and marvelous things which hath been hid up from the foundation of the world from you, yea, when ye shall call upon the Father in my name with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, then shall ye know that the Father hath remembered the covenant which he hath made unto your fathers, O house of Israel. Now notice what he's telling the people there. He's talking to the Gentiles and the house of Israel, but it's telling them that they must turn away from their sinful ways and turn back to the Lord and truly seek after him. Then all of these things can take place. And this is the case throughout all time. The Lord is willing to work with people, but they have got to be willing to work for him. And then shall my revelations, which I have caused to be written by my servant John, to be unfolded in the eyes of all the people. Remember, when you see these things, ye shall know that the time is at hand, that they shall be made manifest in very deed. Therefore, when ye shall receive this record, yea, ye may know that the work of the Father has commenced upon the face of the land. But those people have got to turn to the Lord. They can't stand against him, and they've got to be willing to do his will whenever he calls them. We can search back through the scripture so many times. What would have happened if someone hadn't followed after the ways of the Lord? But I'm sure then there was a lot of people that didn't, so he used what tools he had. And I'm sure today there's a lot of people that are not following after the ways of the Lord. And there is people that are being directed that aren't taking heed to it. And it is important to each one of us to be willing to go in whatever direction the Lord wants us to, and to do what he has in mind for us. I want to read a couple of verses out of the fourth chapter of Helaman. Beginning with verse 27. And these are some verses that it's too bad that we can't do it today. Accomplish the same things that was accomplished then. And also they had peace in the 70th and 8th year, save it were for a few contentions concerning the points of doctrine which had been laid down by the prophets. There was contention amongst them. There had been peace except for this little bit of contention. And in this 70th and 9th year, there began to be much strife. But this next verse, I think, is such a wonderful verse. And if we could just have it happen throughout the world today. But it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi and many of their brethren who knew concerning the true points of doctrine, having many revelations daily, therefore they did preach unto the people, insomuch that they did put an end to their strife in that same year. What a wonderful thing. Now, if those men hadn't have been willing to receive these revelations and they didn't seek after the Lord, they wouldn't have been directed of what to say and what to do. And oh, that we might have more of that power today. And I'm sure that we have heard sermons preached to us that told us things we should do and things we should not do that was directed from the Lord. Some people received it and some people didn't. And it's a shame when those things are brought to us that everybody don't realize them. But each individual in his own life can seek after those things and seek for direction. And if we do it in sincerity of heart, the Lord is going to be with us wherever and whenever we stand in need.